Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Host Merle Exit. Let's see, it's cloudy, it's warm. It's cloudy. I guess the sun is starting to get dark. It gets dark early. Well, 7 p.m. on my time. What we got? The Unfringe Festival and the Secret Theater. We'll be presenting a show called An Intolerant Vaudeville. It's conceived by Sam Viverito, written by Wendy Biller, Chris Hawthorne, a whole bunch of people. Okay, anyway, they're all on my show. They're all going to chat with all these people that have to do with it, and I'll open up their mics in a minute. But first, the sponsors, you know what I mean? Somebody's got to pay the damn bill.
Hey, Martha, why did it smile? I was just thinking, I'm here at Ronnie Brook Farms eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. You know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising, doing yogurt. At Ronnie Brook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat from non-fat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal. Our milk may get past your eyes, but certainly not homogenized. Ronnie Brook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronniebrook.com.
All right, guys. You're all on the air now.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, Ms. Merle.
Yeah, hi, everybody. I got four people. It's wonderful. You're all on the air at the same time. So I don't know, I see phone numbers. I don't know who's who. But let's see. I'll call out names. So I got Sam.
That's
Viverito.
Me. Yep. I'm in New York City.
Okay, I see that 212 number. Okay. Then how about Wendy Biller?
Hi, I'm calling in from Los Angeles.
That's the 310 number?
Yes, it is.
Well, look at that. I'm doing well, huh? then with Chris
Hawthorne.
Chris Hawthorne also calling in from Los Angeles.
Is that a 213?
213 number.
Look at that. So I'm down to the 201, and the 201 must be, I guess, Ronnie Lawson, right?
Hi, Merle. How are you? Calling from New Jersey.
Okay. Not that I'm going to remember all this, but at least I get, you know, I know you're all there. So let me begin by talking. Who would like to, like, basically talk about the crux of the show itself, what it's about?
I guess I can. This is Sam, and I went to the Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles many years ago, and it had a big effect on me, and I thought, there should be a show written about tolerance, and I basically the show is based on my experiences at going to the museum. It's a great museum, by the way. If you haven't been there, you should go. So each of the exhibits sort of turned into an act, and we use a typical vaudeville format for the show. I tried to come up with something, and then I thought, well, prejudice and, you know, intolerance has been with our country from the very beginning. And vaudeville is an American art form, so I put the two of them together, and we came up with a show.
Oh, okay. And so, Sam, you're the director.
I'm the director and
co-writer
with Wendy and Chris, yeah.
Okay, so, and also Chris does the co-lyrics, and Wendy did the co-lyrics, and
yes.
Ronnie is a composer and co-lyrics. How's that,
yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You've got it.
So, as a matter of fact, let's to give people some kind of an idea, let's hear the overture.
Oh, you've got a clip. Yeah, this is the overture.
I love that overture.
That's great, Ronnie.
Thank you so much.
I love it.
So now let's go into, like, what should the... All right, let's go through each of you and, like, how you contributed. So, so Sam, in other words, you got this all together, and now after it was written, you're directing it. And you're directing it because you went to the
museum.
Well,
that's what I do for a living.
That's
what I do for a living.
Right?
I direct and choreograph shows, so it's just my livelihood. And I came up with the idea, and I called Wendy and Chris. We went to college together, Wendy and Chris and I. And Wendy and Chris are award-winning writers, screenwriters. And I talked to them about the piece, and they were really interested in it. It's an unusual piece, and I let them talk about it a little bit more. But I, you know, asked them if they'd be interested because I knew it wasn't a typical Broadway show. It's a definitely contemporary, edgy piece. And I know that they have the right sensibility and the right sense of humor that I was looking for. So we started collaborating, and I actually had brought Ronnie in prior to that. Ronnie and I have worked together many times on corporate theater or industrial shows. And his music is great. And so that's sort of how I pulled the team together. And Wendy and Chris, if you want to talk about something,
okay,
take it away.
Wendy, let's hear from you.
Yeah, hi. Absolutely. So anyway, when Sam came to us with this idea, I thought it was incredible. I mean, the whole idea about vaudeville mixed with prejudice and racism and this wall of tolerance is where his idea came from. I thought this seemed like an incredibly challenging piece to write. And it has been. And I mean, I feel like the collaboration has been incredible because we all seem to be, to balance each other and to be on the same wave. And as far as writing it, it's been a real challenge because I think that the key is actually finding your own stereotypes within your own head and sort of letting that...
Yeah, you become guilty of it, yeah.
Exactly, and letting that flow out into the writing. And it's been a very raw process because there are different acts and there are different structures within the vaudeville, but within each act, the idea was to come up with something original but also very entertaining. So it's really a juxtaposition of something very entertaining and yet something that has serious overtones to it. So working on this has been such an amazing experience. Chris, you want to take over, talk about it a little?
Sure. So I was brought onto the project because of my bad temper and my general lack of faith in humanity. And and I thought that what's interesting is that vaudeville, the original vaudeville shows used to trade on racism and ethnic stereotypes and physical disability all the time. That was part of family entertainment in the 1930s and 40s. And so it really fit an edgy show about racism and bigotry in today really fit in with the structure of a vaudeville show, which relied heavily on slapstick and songs about things that that people don't really want to talk about. So we tried to bring that sensibility into what we were writing for the show. I mean, you can't write a show in which you're lecturing people about how they shouldn't be bigoted. What you have to show is how ridiculous bigotry is. That's what you really want. That's what you really want people to see. You want people to see acts in which bigotry is and racism are exposed for the ugly yet funny and ridiculous things that they are. And so that was a challenge to work on that with Wendy and Ronnie and Sam, to find the correct balance, in addition to balancing very contemporary and very edgy themes with an old-fashioned structure, which is the structure of vaudeville, which was family entertainment. As Sammy told us, he said this is not burlesque. There will be no strippers. We had to take them all out, and
we did our research.
And, it was considered family entertainment. Yeah.
Chris, that you should talk about, which I thought was really interesting, was we started working on this many years ago because we all have, full-time jobs and things. So it's taken us it's been a long process. And what we found was now that we're actually going to present it in front of an audience, we had to rewrite quite a bit of it because the prejudices and the racism or the climate of racism has changed so drastically from when we started it to what the climate is like today. So we've rewritten quite a bit because of what's going on in the world today also.
Yeah. I mean, we had to really keep it contemporary, which was our goal also. And sadly, though, I mean, you still find that the stereotypes still exist. I mean, that's what's so incredible about all of this. We jokingly would say, wow, this is taking a while, like all theater productions, to get going. But aren't we lucky that racism and prejudice and stereotypes still exist, which is pretty funny. But as Chris was saying, there is a very serious edge to this. So
is each piece like each scenario? Is it like blackouts kind of thing, scenarios?
Yeah, it's truly like a vaudeville. There'll be somebody carrying a sign introducing the next act. There'll be an easel, and then the act will, they'll put the sign on the easel, and then the act will happen, and then it'll be a blackout. Then another sign comes out. Exactly. I did a lot of research on vaudeville. So the typical build, vaudeville used to start with what they called dumb acts, which were the animal acts, the magic act, the jugglers, the contortionists or acrobats, because people were taking their seats and they didn't have to listen. They just had to watch it. And then it would be followed with a dance team, then a singer, which is where we came up with the 11 o'clock, that's the 11 o'clock number. And then it was always finished with a one-act play so that the audience felt cultured. And I kept the structure of that, well, we kept the structure of that, and sort of fit our vignettes into those categories and wrote specific category or specific acts that fit the bill.
So are any of you actually in the show, or is it like you're part of the show, you're like the you know, the people that wrote it, et cetera, and then there's an entire cast?
There's an entire cast. We have 12 people in the cast. It's an equity-approved showcase, so we have some equity people, some non-equity people. None of us perform. Ronnie performs every once in a while. Ronnie will play live, won't you, Ronnie, still?
Occasionally, yes.
Yeah, but I don't perform anymore, and I don't think Chris and Wendy do either.
Well,
do you?
Have you?
Only at dinner.
Only
well,
at dinner.
You know, by the way, I hope, Ronnie, that you do play live, because, really, you know, it's very boring when I see corpses.
I thought your utter joke would fit into our show very well.
That was very
utter failure. That got me laughing.
Did you look
funny
at my background, by the way?
I did. Yes.
Oh, okay. So you know I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do know that. Yeah.
Okay.
You lived up to your reputation.
Yeah.
Very funny.
What'd you think of the commercial? I wrote that.
That was great.
It was hysterical.
It was
very
delightful.
Funny. Very funny.
It's kind of, you know, you got the message across, yet it was entertaining and funny, and that's what our show is hopefully going to be.
And the name Ronnie Brook, of course, was great for me.
Yeah.
I'm going out and buying
so.
Yogurt right now, as soon as we get off this call.
That's right.
I got hooked on that stuff. I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know, but I'm a milk drinker, you know, but I'm a milkaholic.
I drink milk every day almost.
Well, it's like, you know, when people, like, you know, they get upset, angry, and or whatever, and they take a shot of booze, I take a shot of milk for every emotion.
I do both.
So, yeah. But anyway, I mean, can you, like, give any kind of an example? I don't want you to sing or whatever.
Well, I can tell you one thing, because Wendy was talking about it earlier, about the prejudices are still in the racism and all of these issues are still with us today.
Yeah.
We're hopefully going to be using some music from a 1947 album of children's songs. And I came upon it on the internet. I thought, oh, my God, this is great. It's from 1947, and it's still prevalent. All of the songs and the messages of the songs are still things that are around today. And they're really written in a very old style, so it feels like vaudeville music. But the songs were so perfect for the show, you know, we're getting the rights to them and going to be putting them into the show.
Can you give me like what are the lyrics so I understand what you, you know,
you could get
an example.
This will tie into your sponsor. You could get good skin from a brown skinned cow. The color of the skin doesn't matter no how. Ho 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 ha ha ha. I can't remember the rest of it, but that's...
Oh God, I remember that song.
You remember it?
I did hear that.
Yeah.
And
there was another song, "Point Your Finger." I could pull up the lyrics if you want, but anyway, the other music in the show, which Ronnie did a great job of writing, is there's a juggling act, and there's a song in that which five of the people will sing. It's three solos. And then two more people come into it. I don't want to tell you a whole lot about it, but I could tell you, well, I don't know. Each one of them, each act sort of takes you by surprise, so I can't. There's a beautiful lullaby, a beautiful lullaby. And I can tell you it's called The Quick Change Artist. And you hear the song, and then in 1 second, your whole opinion of this person singing the song changes.
Yeah, there's a lot of surprises, and I think in every act, some shocking surprises.
Absolutely.
Now, you chose to do it at the Secret Theater. Any particular reason why that?
No one would see it. Yeah, because it's a secret.
It's a secret.
So.
We won't tell anybody.
I looked at a couple festivals to look into, and the Secret Theater. What they were asking for were shows that were thought-provoking, that would instill conversations, that weren't they were a little bit more cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked that. I went to the Secret Theater and saw a production there, and I thought it was a great production. I thought it was directed brilliantly. And then I started doing some research and found out that this was rated one of the top festivals in the city. And the Secret Theater is rated one of the top theaters outside of Manhattan. So,
and I was going to add that it's in the coolest area around PS1, like Long Island City. This is the great place now to be. There's just so much interesting. There's dining right around the theater, so if people want to come and have dinner before, that's great. There's great little restaurants, and it's just a really cool neighborhood to be in. So when you go to see it at the Secret Theater, you can walk around, and it's a lot of cool stuff to see right around there.
Can you tell when you're an original New Yorker?
Yes, I have my accent still. I wear it proudly.
Yes.
It's the hippest,
LA,
the hippest
I'm
show
I'm
in the
not,
hippest
I'm
area.
I'm not giving it up. I'm not giving up my New York accent. I'm proud. Proud.
I grew up in Queens, by the way, just so.
Oh, okay.
To make it 100%, we're all New Yorkers.
And Chris, what about you?
I feel totally left out.
I grew up in New York.
I was born
State.
In New Jersey. I hope that counts.
Oh,
yes.
A little bit. That'll work.
Well, people ask me if I'm from Queens, and I say, no, my folks are straight.
Another good
That's
one.
Funny.
Yeah,
that would be a rim shot on our show.
Yeah, right.
Bump, bump.
You could come in and do a stand-up in another show.
So are you doing, like, is this a one-shot deal? I wasn't sure.
We have four performances.
Uh-huh.
They're Tuesday, August 25th, Thursday, August 27th, the 29th, and the 30th. And they're all at 7 o'clock, except for on the 29th, Saturdays at 5 o'clock, which are great times for a festival.
Oh, okay. And
mm-hmm.
as far as the cast, is the cast all New Yorkers? Or?
Yes, they're all from New York. We held auditions. I had a wonderful casting director, Holly, who set up auditions for us. We went through a couple days of auditions and really found some really, really wonderally talented people. We had our first day of rehearsal today with a couple of them came in and sang some of the songs that Ronnie wrote, and it was great.
Oh, good. That's
And I just joined Twitter. Chris and Wendy, you don't know this. I just joined Twitter last night, and
mm-hmm.
I tweeted a picture of the rehearsal.
All right. That's
yeah.
great.
Wow.
So we're at an Intal Vaud. They wouldn't take the whole name, so I put at Intal Vaud.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited, and I hope people come because it's going to be really a really fascinating piece. We're going to come in from Los Angeles to see it and be part of it. I'm so excited about it.
Is this the debut of the show?
This will be first time it's been in front of an audience as a whole piece.
Okay.
We did a reading of The Acrobats, which is kind of like a Who's on First, you know, the Abbott Costello old bit.
Oh, sure.
It's written in that vein, and it's basically a job interview, and the interviewer and the interviewee bend over backwards to please each other in a matter of words. And we did the reading of that at the KGB bar downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really successful. And I was asked after that to present it if we could do it at a stand-up comedy festival. And so we did it there, too. And that was actually the host of the event and one of the comedians. I had about 40 minutes before the show to just sort of direct them and tell them what it was about. And, you know, the comedians, so they got it. And that went over really well, too, because that one I was a little nervous about. It was, you know, strange to do a scene from a show in a stand-up comedy routine, but the audience loved it, and many people came up to me after, asked me about the show and when it was going to be presented and everything. So it worked. I mean, that scene I'm not worried at all about because I know that works. I know the audience love it, but the rest of it has never been really put in front of an audience, so it'll be really interesting. And we're all excited about seeing
So you'll be waiting for everybody to give you the clap then, right?
Yes. Again.
I feel another joke coming on.
I'm sorry. The brain it automatically just shoots out. It doesn't want to stop.
It can't stop it.
Good to have a brain like that. Definitely.
So, and then after you do it, are you planning already on where you're going to take it, where you're going to go with the show after?
Well, we're in the same boat as everybody else. We're hoping, you know, to raise some money and then take it off Broadway, I think is the goal for all of us, yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's got that. It does actually have a wide appeal to it. I think that with the music, which is wonderful, and Ronnie, it's so great what you've done.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so quiet there, so I thought I would bring you into this.
There is something definitely in this show for everyone. There's moving and emotional scenes. There's low comedy, and definitely it will offend everyone, not just people in Queens.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to get off Broadway and offend people there. Because we want to offend a much wider audience than we could otherwise. So.
But it ends with hope.
That's true. We hope we offend everyone in every city.
And they will feel cultured afterwards too, because of the one act that closes the show. So.
And it ends on a hopeful note that we'll all learn the lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very. I didn't expect it to take me where it took me, but it's very all-American in a way. Are you going to come to see it? I hope you come to see it.
I hope so. I have to take a look at schedule-wise.
We'll get you a comp ticket if you come, so that would be fun.
Oh, sure. I definitely will let you know. I have a feeling Kevin, the editor of the paper, mm-hmm. is going to be the one who will actually show up and want to see the show. He's got his thing of what he likes and whatever. I think he's having me do this because it's comedy. And by the way, this is directed to you about, do you know about the person that went over to Beethoven's grave?
I don't.
And then as he went to his grave, all of a sudden, it opened up, and the box opened up.
Yeah.
And then Beethoven sat up, erasing music. He was erasing music.
Wow.
And it turned to him and said, Beethoven, what are you doing? And he said, I'm decomposing.
Ba-dum-bum. Another rim shot.
Okay, another rim shot.
I feel we need, Ronnie needs to, bang a drum or something after your joke.
I know,
Woo!
I wish I had my arsenal of that sound.
You two could go on the road together, Ronnie
we
and
could.
You.
We could.
Keep Ronnie on the road.
Yeah, well, it's worse now. Actually, every time I'm watching, I start I'm watching television, I'm watching these commercials and stuff like that, I'm sitting hysterically laughing because it's like, you know, and I can't help but make fun of things that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you know, like, there's this commercial that came on about, did you see this commercial about the Colorama? Did you ever see this thing?
Colorama, no.
I swear to coloring books. And they talk about these middle-aged women. They're all having problems. They need to relax. So they just,
mm-hmm.
So this is about them to relax. They got coloring books.
Oh, my God.
So they show them taking pencils and coloring it in and whatever, you know.
And
they turn.
Wow.
I swear to God. And I'm looking
That's
at
great.
This going, are you kidding me? For $12.95, you get a coloring book. And
oh, my God.
And then they turn around, and this is the thing that hit me, that got me rolling. And they turn around and say, you know, give for yourself, or give it as a gift to a friend. And,
oh, my God.
Wow.
And they're showing the woman giving it to her friend, and her friend is happy to receive it. And I think to myself, are you kidding? Somebody takes a page out of a coloring book, colors it, and puts it in a frame. giving this to somebody?
Wow.
You just called
I'm
going to
be
wow.
a
pet.
Final, what's
yeah.
my commercial?
But then I took this further. I'm thinking about now the woman who's receiving it. She now takes it, she puts it up on her wall amongst the Mona Lisa and whatever collection she's got. And she's got company. A person comes up and looks at this and says, oh, isn't that cute? Did your grandchild do this? And she says, no, my friend Martha did it.
Oh, my God.
You know, and go, really? Is Martha having some emotional or mental problems? And she says, no, she... This is where my head is going. Oh, no, she does this for $12.95, blah, blah, blah. And she does this to relax. And her friend finally says, well, tell her to spend a little more money and buy a vibrator instead. I mean, that's where, you know, it's like I'm looking. But, the, you know, the absurdities, and you could take some of these absurdities and really, you know, take it away. But this is... You know, so I really, like, understand you could pull just an idea and make a whole scenario.
Yeah, you
get
comedy from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the animal act is based on stereotypes, and they're really, really rough, raw, and pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
But they're hysterical. And you know you shouldn't laugh, but you do, because you can't help yourself.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and to find, I mean, Wendy and Chris did a brilliant job of making it just over the top enough that they're still kind of believable, but, you know, it still scares you a little bit. You know you shouldn't laugh at it, but you can't help yourself. It's just hysterical.
Well, that's...
You can find comedy anywhere.
Oh, sure. Did you come up with a CD of it yet?
Not yet, no. No.
Okay.
We have all of the music right now are just work tracks that Ronnie made. And I don't think he would want them for publish.
No.
Ronnie's a pretty shy person that
you
way.
Know, like Sammy said, we've been working on this for many years, and it was always something, you know, this will happen in the future. And then suddenly and shockingly, the future was a month and a half away. So now we're all frantically,
yeah.
You know. But it's great. I mean, I'm the type of person that definitely gets more done when there's a deadline. So it's been great for me, and I've been going you know, day and night with it, and really enjoying it. So it's been real fun.
How long is the show? By the way.
It'll be under 90 minutes. We haven't actually, because we haven't done it from beginning to end, we haven't really timed it. That's one of the things that I'll start to do tomorrow. I'll time the individual acts and, you know, see where we are. But it should be, we're thinking, Wendy, you gave me a time.
I would think about an hour and 15 minutes. Chris,
yeah.
What do you think?
I'd say so. I don't think we'll bump over an hour and a half, but since
no.
Sammy's timing it tomorrow, Wendy and I are expecting a call saying he needs to cut something. So we won't be answering our phones tomorrow.
I'm only timing two of the acts tomorrow because I don't have everybody in tomorrow.
Okay. Is there an interpition?
There is not an interpition. No.
Is that what they say in Queens?
Name.
I need
well, that's
to learn
what they
so
have
much.
To call it. But what do people do during during intermission? They piss.
They piss. Yeah.
So they should call it intermission instead.
If and when this does get picked up, my dream for the show would be to make it a little bit longer and to incorporate an intermission, so that it would become a very much of an environmental trip back to the 1920s and the teens when vaudeville was really popular, and have people in the audience hawking Cracker Jacks and, you know, do some research and find out really what was sold then. So there's a total environmental.
Yeah, that would be great.
The minute you walk through the door, you go, whoa, what is this? I'm in another time zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so our dream is, and our hopes are, to actually make it long enough and add an intermission in it, but the intermission would also be part of the entertainment.
Oh, okay. That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's a, a fun idea, and I know I've never experienced anything like that yet.
Oh, good. So I wish you the I'm not going to say luck, you know, break a leg. And hopefully I'll be able to get to see the show.
I would love that. I hope you can.
And then, you know, and kind of like to review it.
I would love a critic with a sense of humor to come and see it. Yes.
Definitely.
Do you have the where people could get tickets, the information for the tickets?
No, give the you could say. Go ahead.
Okay.
Put it out there.
They can either get tickets at www.secrettheater, and theater is spelled re.com/unfringed.html. That was long. Or they can call, which is much easier in the way I do it. 212-352-3101. And the name of the show is An Intolerant Vaudeville.
Okay. This is really good, and I hope for the best for you guys. Thank you so much for having us. But let me ask you a question, because like you, the way that you think people would laugh, should they wear a pair of Depends then?
I think it'd be a good idea.
Okay.
Absolutely, especially since there's no intervention.
That's right.
Right.
No intervention. Maybe we could sell them at concessions and make more money.
Actually, what I should have said, should they wear disposable underwear? And your answer should have been, it depends.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have set that up. You know, that was poor timing on my part. I should have, you know. Okay, so well, I'm glad you guys called in, and if I have any, you know, questions as far as when I write up the article, I'll give you guys a call. And
if you do want to come and see it, let us know. We'll get you a ticket.
Oh yeah, I'll let you know. And you said this is at the end of the month, right?
August 25th, 27th, okay. 29th, and 30th. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got it. All right, guys.
Okay,
right, thank
you
so
much,
Merle.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Merle.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, I'm going to, like, just end the show a little early. And, go out there. Go see this show. Sounds pretty good to me. All right, everybody. So have a great day. I got to go find, where is it? The music intro. Here we go. Okay. All right. Have a great day, evening, afternoon, midnight, nap, whatever you're doing. The rubber chicken there. Yeah, they're sleeping. They're sleeping.